Chad Nafusi, with my co-host, the CEO of iShook, Benny Rachmaninov. On the iShook Experience, we embark on a journey of discovery in pursuit of work-life harmony, something that is so elusive because we only have so many hours in a day. But today we're diving into, once again, a topic that is crucial for all modern professionals, modern business people, balancing that busy schedule while still striving for that success that we all desire. So in our quest for answers, we often explore the intersection of technology and mindfulness, or personal growth and work. However, in this episode, we're shifting gears and we'll be joined by a special guest, a very successful young entrepreneur, Brandon Austin Kinney. Brandon has founded and started numerous businesses. He brings a wealth of experience and insight into how to achieve a work-life balance while still managing multiple ventures, several of which he's about to launch, and he's still taking time to meet with us today. And as you've seen throughout the series, we also share practical tips, insights, and stories that help empower you in your own quest for balance along with our own. So today, we're really going to delve into some of Brandon's strategies and experiences, get some lessons for that balance to maintain focus and find success in both personal and professional realms. But remember, this podcast is not just me talking or Benny talking. We want to hear from you as well. We want you to share your thoughts, experience, and questions and really build this iShook Experience community dedicated to growth, resilience, and most importantly, thriving in every aspect of life. But Benny, before we bring in the guest, I just want to quickly recap episode 4 last week, which was really fun. We were joined by Kira Dineen, a distinguished genetic counselor and also a podcast host on the iShook Network, which is really great to share the screen with her. She shared some of her personal journey. She gave us how she blended her expertise in genetic counseling with her passion for digital media and podcasting, which was, you know, seemingly disparate things that she melded together well. And she really told us how she managed to balance her demanding roles in healthcare and media and gave us some really great insights. She delved into her own advocacy work and highlighted her efforts, just about geneticism and genetics work and staying resilient and motivated in the face of challenges. And she's done all that at such a young age. It was really inspiring. I learned a lot. But Benny, it's enough about the past. It is time to move into the future, into the forward. It is time. Let's bring in today's guest, Brandon Kinney. I'm so excited to have him here. Brandon, thank you so much. I wish I had like a clapping sound effect to give you for joining us. So we need sound effects, Benny.
Well, here we go.
There you go. Yes.
Yes. Improvise Brandon, the situation here.
I like that. Brandon, welcome to the iShook Experience. Thank you again for joining.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You make me sound maybe way more special than I am, or at least I think I am, but I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And we're not done yet, because I want to give a little bit more about you. Right now, Brandon, for everybody watching, is working on not one, but two startups at the moment, one of which should be launching in just a week or two. Yeah, Brandon, I asked you to join us. You kindly enough took the time to do it, which is crazy with everything you have going on. Not to mention, you're also the head of marketing for several tech companies. And on the side, you also own your own advertising agency. So I'm tired just talking about his ventures, Benny. This is what we mean. We're talking about hustling and balance. So I really want to get into, Brandon, you've done a lot. It's really wild. You've done more than most people in an entire career. So I really want to know, let's get into your early days. How did you get into this and even have this drive just to run all these and not be overwhelmed by them? What was your startup, your origin story?
I don't know. I guess, like, for lack of a better term, I've been hustling or whatever you want to call it forever, right? I grew up in a not so great situation, and I got pretty into athletics, which was like a very good path for me, and ended up at a very fancy school where there was a bunch of people way smarter than me, Columbia in New York City.
Yes.
And I just kind of, and I was an athlete while I was there. So, you know, doing the whole D1 thing with a demanding, you know, academic schedule, and then I had to pay for it myself as well. So I worked full time.
And so that's, you just were there on a scholarship because you were a wrestler at Columbia, right?
I wrestled. That's right. Yep.
Okay.
So Ivy League schools don't give athletic scholarships, which is something that a lot of people know. They do give, need-based financial aid and some grants and things, but they don't give athletic scholarships. I got, you know, a fair amount of it covered based on our, you know, financial situation. But yeah, I had to make up the rest of it myself.
Wow. I love it. It's like a Horatio Alger story, Brandon, because you went from like, you know, just growing up in humble circumstances, then having to originally learn how to juggle. So how did you do that then? You had to pay for school. Were you working while you were at Columbia as well?
Yeah, I worked full time. For most of the time I was there. I don't know, when you're forced to do a lot of things in a compressed time frame, you don't really have time to spin out of control, right?
That's right.
This is one of the things that I found. So I've just been used to being busy. I think is the short of it, right?
Right. So you learn, you must have also even at a younger age worked hard to have the dedication to be able to become a D1 wrestler and become a great enough student to get into an Ivy League school as well. So you were juggling these early on even. So even in your formative years.
Yeah, I think so. It's just kind of what I've known, I guess, right?
Right. You wouldn't know any other way. You wouldn't even think to just say, okay, I've done one thing for this week. I'm good. I've accomplished one thing. You have them all going at the same time.
It sounds like a little bit, Benny.
Every time I talk to Benny, he's juggling new ventures as well and new things he's launching weekly. So you guys are very similar with that. And I love it because I find it inspiring myself as I'm trying to, juggle things myself. So in your background, you got out of college. And so you were wrestling for a while and you graduated from Columbia. So what was the first job you had coming out of it? Or did you have coming out of it? Or did you just have 10 jobs coming out of it and work all of them nonstop?
No, it was an interesting thing because growing up, all I wanted to do was be an athlete where I could get into a good education. And that was kind of my whole identity was wrapped up in that. Right. And then when that ended, as a senior in college, there's no professional wrestling in the USA. Right. And so when that ended, that was pretty tough for me, right? Like my whole life I'd been one thing and then it was time to become something else and I didn't know what that thing was, right?
Wow.
It also happened that was 2008, which is, pretty tough economical times for a lot of people. So it was hard to get a job. And I worked at a nonprofit, actually, as my first job, basically as a sales guy, right? Just trying to get donations.
And, really? Right. This is right after the financial meltdown, too, trying to get donations from people. That couldn't have been easy.
Yeah. In New York City, of all places, right?
It's a new type of wrestling you had to do. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop people on the street and get them to give you their credit card in a place where no one's skeptical, right? But I did that for a year. And then, one of the alumni at my university reached out and they offered me a job at a real estate company. And I got a pretty good look at how a very successful, billion-dollar private company was run and how decisions were made. And, I just learned a lot just from being in the presence of people who had figured things out in a way that most people never have, right?
And what did you do for them, Brandon?
Yeah, so I it was interesting because I was the youngest person there, so I got all of the random jobs, like just a young guy, hey, figure this out, right? One of them was, we're interested in green technology, so we want to look in like solar and wind. And so I built a bunch of solar projects all over the East Coast, right? Which is pretty cool. And on like all the buildings that the company I worked at owned. And another one was figure out the internet, was the exact words.
Really?
What they really meant was, we spend a lot of money on marketing and advertising. We don't know what it does. Figure it out, right? And that, long story short, led me down this, path in this marketing world, which is where I've been for a while, and it's how I met you, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of the start of it.
Wow. Yeah, Benny, Brandon and I have worked together now close to 4 years on dozens of projects. And I have to say, working with Brandon is just a joy. I can get a hold of him weekends if I need. We get it done. He hustles and it's really and it's always been kind of a modern day handshake agreement. So I really want to say that's rare that you could just have someone for 4 years work with his word and my word and have it work seamlessly. And it has, and I commend you for that. And that just shows you know how important networking is and working and doing the right thing. Because if you're going to build and have juggling all these different things, if you're watching what you're saying and not keeping to your word, that's going to quickly come back at you too. So
no doubt.
It's been commendable being able to work with you in that capacity too. So thank you and great work with that. So you went from real estate. And because they asked you to do all these multifarious jobs at this firm, that's how you learned all of a sudden to do digital marketing or learned how to do advertising and learned all these other things while being paid to do another job. So it's almost like not a paid internship, but it was like another education for you, real world education.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, I struggled like, you know, I'd considered going to law school, which I know you went to, right? Mm-hmm. But I paid for my undergrad and I didn't want to, I wasn't sure if I was going to like it or I wanted to, you know, put up another, you know, couple $100,000 or whatever it was back then. Right. But when I started doing the marketing stuff, it was the first time I kind of like, I realized, okay, this is something I can do that I don't need to go back and get a degree for. And I could theoretically be very good at it. Right. I got to learn on the job, right? Obviously made a lot of mistakes, but it was a super valuable experience for me. And you know, being able to make decisions on behalf of a company kind of gave me some leverage maybe isn't the right word, but when I wanted to go do this full time, you know, it kind of gave me a good background to be able to lean on, right?
It certainly gave you the mindset as a leader of a company on how to do it. So, and that is a specific mindset. I mean, Benny, you know, when we speak too, you have that CEO mindset that it all kind of falls on you. And that only comes with the power of being able to make the decisions and not having to always check it. So that's really interesting that you took that and you weren't daunted by or apprehensive about not knowing the positions. You just dove right in and were like, I'll just learn on the job and figure it out.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing that I like about the marketing world or the advertising world, or at the very least the direct response world, is that everything's measurable, right? Especially in the digital age. So you can say, you know, I spent this amount of money and this is how much money came back in revenue. And we either made money or we didn't. And it's pretty black and white in that sense, you know? That was attractive to me because I'd spent my whole life competing, right? And this was a different way to kind of be able to have something that's measurable, you know, that I could compete against myself with, right?
Oh, that's really interesting. Okay, so right, you left your days as an athlete, so to speak, and then you had to find some other way to fulfill that competitive desire. But now you had these metrics that you could sit there and go, okay, how did I do last week, year over year, quarter over quarter?
Yeah.
And use that not only to gauge success for your clients, but also against yourself to keep improving. I love that, a tangible metric. That's interesting. And that was born from your mindset as an athlete too.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right, without even realizing it maybe. Wow, that's fascinating. Okay, so let's discuss. So now you have this knowledge. Where is the tipping point? When did you cross the Rubicon and say, all right, I want to start my own thing? So let's get into, you're still at the real estate place where you start thinking, because your next step was working on your own, or was there another step in between?
The step was I had a long-term relationship that ended.
And, that's a whole other podcast we could get into.
And my puppy and we moved to Costa Rica and we lived on the beach. Wow. You know, as
Brandon,
I would have
stopped there and just said, all right, I'm here. I'm good.
I know we're trying to figure out how to go back. right. But, anyway, then I met a new girl who I'm now married to, by the way, that's the spoiler of that story. And while I was in Costa Rica, thank you. And
met her in Costa Rica.
I met her like a long time before that, but we, you know, started dating, you know, when I was living in Costa Rica. And so when I was planning on coming back to the States, she lived in Chicago. So that's where I went. And I got a job at a giant company doing marketing. You know, one of the top, I don't know, 50 or 100 biggest company, like Grainger, they're massive, right? They're everywhere. Right. And, you know, so that was my first like full-time marketing position at like a different company. And then we moved to Austin and I started working in startup world. And over the last probably 4 or 5 years, I'd slowly started moving away from working at companies and towards my own things, right? And, you know, when I met you, I was the head of marketing at a pretty impressive startup, and they're still growing a bunch. And, you know, I advise them still and consult for them. Yeah, that was me kind of running the ship and an entire platform and building out a whole new thing. And then, you know, eventually I just decided it was time for me to not work for other people.
So, you are making it sound so much easier than it is, Brandon. You're very humble, and I appreciate that. Which, by the way, those campaigns are very successful. I bumped into someone last week who had seen me on one of those campaigns we had worked on recently, but just recently. So
they can't beat them, and it's been like 3 years with the same the same ads, and for some reason they don't want to make. They keep trying to beat them without this recipe that we have, and
they don't
seem interested in going back to the recipe. But
yeah, it's the secret sauce. They can't do it. Maybe they will ultimately. But so let's get back to it, because I'm fascinated, Benny. This he went from working in New York to just saying I'm going to Costa Rica and kind of glossed it over. That's something that people dream about, talk about, daydream about when they've had a margarita in the summer. Then Labor Day hits, it gets cold, they forget all about it and go back to work. You took the plunge and did it. Now, when you moved down, this is almost like a Henry David Thoreau going to live in the woods by himself and confront the essential facts of life. When you went down, were you like, this is temporary, I'm going to find myself, I may stay long-term? What was your mindset at that point? Because that's fascinating that you were brave enough to take the plunge. I think all of us at one point or another have said, forget it, I'm going somewhere, I'm going to a tropical island, and I'm forgetting all of it.
Well, people who go to tropical islands usually go to retire. He went there to work.
Exactly, right.
Well, I worked a little bit while I was there. But, yeah, I don't know. It's something I had always wanted to do. And, you know, the certain circumstances in my life, you know, were such that it made sense in a way. And I thought that, like, you know, if I don't do it now, I might not ever do it, and I feel like I would very much regret this. So that's kind of what happened.
So it was more of an experiment, that you didn't think you were going to long-term just go full tropical lifestyle.
I wasn't sure how long I was going to go. My original ticket was for 90 days. Just because you need a return ticket, I think, you know, like legally or whatever, and I had to come back for something, but I stayed for a year is what happened.
Wow. Okay. And while you were there, you were working on marketing, learning marketing, or working on your tan?
Worked on my tan. Surfing? I did not surf at all, actually, while I was there. I didn't pick up surfing until the pandemic, which is another time when I quit my job and I went to Hawaii. I picked up surfing there, but
that's balance. Going to Hawaii and Costa Rica, I like it.
Yeah, but no,
that's balance. That's like two different spectrums of the globe.
Oh yeah, he does go from one end to the other. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, but Brandon, what were you saying? You ended up going to Hawaii as well.
Yeah. Surfing. So I didn't surf at all in Costa Rica. I taught jiu-jitsu at a gym, you know, a couple times a week. You know, the cost of living is a little bit lower there than a lot of places here. So I was able to mostly kind of live off some savings, right? And then, yeah, came back here and started working.
So you knew at some point you were coming back, even when you were in Costa Rica, you knew it was kind of just, you're taking the time, like almost like a mini gap year, because you could do it and you thought that this is your chance.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of, my approach of a lot of things is to just experience them and try to not make decisions about them before I experience it. And I find that, I'm generally more open and receptive to things that way. Right. So, you know, I guess probably didn't plan to stay there forever. But I didn't rule it out either. Right.
Right. Yeah. And you were almost ahead of your time, because if it was now, you could have worked remotely from wherever you were. Yeah. You just missed it by a few years. Could have been full island. So then you go, you're in Costa Rica, you come back, and now you're like, okay, you're working for this big company, which I take you wanted, you were by then used to making your own decisions, having more power and more say. So at that point you decide, okay, you're going to go on your own. So how did you decide exactly which type of business to start? Like what factors influenced those decisions? Because you decided mainly you want to work for yourself and go from there, correct?
Yeah. So fast forward a few years, the one that's like, I guess maybe most interesting to talk about is, I started a supplement company, which, is about a week, maybe a little bit less from us selling our first products. And
amazing.
Thanks. Yeah.
Is the name ready? Is it out there?
The name of the supplement itself is called NeuroNourish. So Neuro and Brain. And, the website is sensorysupplement.com, and the story behind it is I met two pretty good friends who both have children with autism, and one of them, his child has very severe autism, right? Non-verbal, you know, pretty physical against himself, and you know, it's a tough time, and you know, I'd also done some work with a company who helps people with addiction, right? Alcohol addiction, actually. And through that, I met a scientist who made a supplement. And so I introduced my friend to the scientist. And, you know, we essentially made a supplement for his autistic son, Leo, is what happened, right? Right. And, you know, so it's got, you know, it's an all-in-one complete supplement for, you know, it was made for, you know, kids with, you know, on the spectrum, but, you know, it can really be used for all children. Right.
So this is your new one, and it's most interesting just because of the product itself. Is that what's most interesting to you, or the challenge of learning this space? What is it?
So I guess the thing that, you know, might be interesting for you guys is just how do you decide to start a different company, right? Like it's easy for me to build my own consulting firm on marketing and advertising, because I've done it, you know, forever. And at this point I can, you know, I can just do that. Right. But this other one, you know, finding people that you like and you want to do things with, and also trying to have a positive impact in the world is, you know, that's interesting to me, right?
Wow. Okay. Because your other positions, right, they haven't necessarily had that where it's helping a societal help, you know, alleviating a problem or helping to eliminate
some of them. Yeah. I mean, I work with some software companies where that was certainly the case, where I didn't feel like I was, at least in a society or social benefit kind of way, helping people, right? Some of the last few companies that I did feel that way, like owner.com, I think is doing a very good thing for, you know, small independent businesses. Restaurant owners and small business owners across, you know, the country. So I started to pivot more towards companies where I felt I could do some good in, right? And then also more to like, who are the people I want to work with, right? You know, sort of thing, and what are the problems that we want to solve.
And now I know you do run your businesses like that, just from our long-term relationship that we've had. You certainly have a stable of people you trust and like to work with and keep going back to them, and I know I certainly appreciate it, and I'm sure the other people do, because it's just nice too. It's like you know what you're going to get. I know what I'm going to get, and I'm sure that's how it is with the other people you're dealing with. And Benny, I'm sure you have the same thing when you're dealing with various people. You like to know what you're getting. When we go on our show, if we're having a meeting in any walk of business, you want to eliminate that uncertainty. So that's a good tip that we're getting from you as well, Brandon, without outright saying it, is if you have people you work with, trust, and even better, like, that's a home run right there. Right. So
but uncertainty would always exist in any project, obviously. You just want to eliminate the majority of it.
Right. Mitigate it as much as you can. Yeah. So, right. So if you can control that, but no, you're right. There's so much uncertainty, especially you're launching this. So this NeuroNourish launches next week or in a week or two.
So it is in the warehouse already. Mm-hmm. So the first order that we made is 5,000 units. We've done some test orders, but there's a couple pieces of the technology that we still need to, get talking to each other. So it's very close.
What's the project called again?
The name of the supplement is called NeuroNourish, and the website is sensorysupplement.com.
So that is actually live now. The site is live now, so you can get
the website. Is, yep. I'm unsure if you could place an order right now. I don't think that we're accepting actual payments, just the test orders. Right. But the website does exist. Yeah.
Wow. Awesome. So, okay. So that, and you've been working on that for a while. I know we spoke a while back where you're doing it, right? Several.
Yeah. Over a year, probably at this point. It took a very long time to get the formula right. Specifically because we needed to put the fish oil in it, which tastes very bad. it was impossible to do and there's no other company in existence that's been able to do that, so it took us 20 variations of the formula to just to be able to get that one thing in there. But it was either that or not have it, and we didn't think not having it was an option. So
right, and you need kids to have these, and if kids don't like them, it's like impossible to get.
And that's the, you know, the specific issue with the market we're going after is they are already extremely picky eaters, right? So that's the, you know, that is a challenge.
Interesting. Right. Okay. So you have to overcome that on top of having it where it's viable and helpful and works. So with all these things that you have going on, and there's a lot, but I know you also enjoy various activities like surfing and different things. Let's get into the crux of this show, which is balancing that work-life balance. That's something for me that I'm always fascinated with, because I have so many things I love doing, and I also love my work and what I do with that, but I want to find the balance. I also want to spend time with my children, because time is so limited, so finite. So let's delve into a little bit how you manage to juggle all your multiple roles and still maintain a healthy work-life balance, if that's even something you do, or maybe like Chad, it's just not in the cards right now for me.
Yeah. I mean, my first hack is I don't have kids, so that's probably helpful in giving me
tip number one. Don't have children. Save a lot of free time and money.
I think, you know, the first step is really kind of understanding what's important to you, right? And if you don't spend the time to do that, it's pretty easy to, just like budgeting, right? Like if you've ever sat down and looked at your finances, you might go, oh, we spend, you know, more money on this than I thought we did. And, you know, we don't really care about that. Well, maybe you should, readjust where you spend your money. So it's the same thing with your time. And so for me, like, I have certain non-negotiables, you know, which might be like exercise or spending time with my wife, or, you know, we do travel a lot, and those things get planned first, right?
Okay.
Before anything else happens, and they get blocked off in the calendar. So that's going to happen no matter what, right? And you know what I found is if you don't do that, you know, you have unlimited emails in your inbox, your phone's always buzzing, like those things are just going to kind of eat up time. You know, it's hard to it's hard to find the time to do the things that are very important but not urgent, right? Unless right. you make space for them. So, you know, the people that I've noticed and observed in my life that are the happiest and also typically the most successful are the ones that spend the bigger portion of their lives in the, you ever heard of like the Eisenhower box? It's like, it's a productivity matrix, I guess is what it's called. And there are four quadrants. You have important, you have like urgent and not important, urgent and important, not urgent, important, not urgent and not important. Right. And so most people spend their time in this like urgent area, either doing urgent and important or urgent and not important, right? Like people sending you emails, oh, this needs to be done right now, but it really doesn't, you know?
Right.
And people, you know, rarely spend time in the areas that are not urgent, but important, right? And those things might be, I mean, it depends on your values, but it might be exercise, right? Or health, personal health, whatever, you know, that sort of stuff. Or work-wise, it might be, you know, if you're trying to do a big project, like, you know, get this podcast off the ground, or, you know, this might be a few months ago for you or whatever, you need to spend the time to put, you know, the foundation down to do this big and important thing. But if you let your life be run by all the distractions and all the things that are happening right now, you'd never do that, right? Even though this big important project might fulfill you more than all of that stuff, if you don't carve out the space to make that happen, you know, it just won't.
So you almost back into it. You say, here are my priorities. Here's what I have to do. Here's what's urgent. Here's what's important. Here's what's not urgent. And then you back into it without compromising what you want to do. In other words, you're saying, I have all these things to do today, but I have to work out. I need my fitness in for my own mental and physical health. So that you back the time around that. And that's a really great tip. So you're making that a priority and then kind of focusing on instead of trying to squeeze it.
It's a non-negotiable. And like the secret is when you asked me when we could schedule this, I told you I had to leave by a certain time. Yes. And it's actually so I can go exercise just because that's my blocked out time that I already have set. Right. And, you know, if I don't respect that kind of boundary, maybe I will not do the thing that I know is important and good for me. Right.
No, that makes sense. Right. Okay. Yes. You don't want to end up missing back day for a podcast because then you're going to be all off too. So what's today? Is it back day? How do you break it down?
You know, it depends on the week. Later today, I'm doing yoga actually.
Very nice.
A newer-ish thing, I find that, you know, being able to just like put blocks around your calendar for certain times is very helpful. Mm-hmm. And so the same thing, like, you know, you plan date nights or you plan, you know, trips or little things. And, you know, if you get those out of the way first, right. The super, super high value stuff, you know, at like on some level, everything you do in your business could mostly be done by somebody else in some capacity, right? But nobody else can spend time with your family, right?
That's true, That's a great point.
Nobody else can go surfing. I know that's something that you like to do. You know, like I find that, you know, if you put those things down first, you know, and then you look at things like most things are actually not emergencies, right? Most things, you know, if you took a step back and you thought about it and you say, okay, like this could be done this time, this could be done here, right? And you just shift your priorities around a little bit, you can, you know, be more effective, right?
That's actually a very good point. Just because you said it's urgent, it doesn't mean it's urgent. Right.
It will
have to be parameters that will define it to be urgent. And then those parameters are not based on what you're saying, based on the reality of the situation.
Yep. And I've
been struggling with that a lot too, what he's saying. Honestly, it's very important what he's saying. In business in general, there's an urgency to be always relatable. But you're forgetting one thing. You will always be relatable. Like, we're doing this podcast now. I try to tell everyone, just because we got this podcast and we push it out today, right? Or whatever it gets pushed out, right? Doesn't mean it's always never relevant. It will always be relevant because right. always have an audience who never saw it. So there is no right. real urgency. so that's true. You know, right. there's no real urgency to get it out. You should get it out because that's just procrastinating. But that's like a huge right. thing, what he's saying. I mean, this is like what's it called? Marketing 101 and work ethic 101. Everyone should yes. be taking. I'm sorry, I'm yes. emphasizing this, but I have to emphasize it. It's like, this is huge what he's saying. It's so simplistic, but it's so important that everyone gets that.
Yeah, and you know what it is? This was what I envisioned when we created this show, was learning these little tidbits that people, it may be simplistic or it may not be, people just don't think that way. And the way Brandon backed into it with the Eisenhower boxes and budgeting the time and then backing into prioritizing what he wants first and then doing what he had to do fits it all in. That's a great tip, because there's so many days I'm like, I'd love to go do yoga, but because I didn't schedule it, it's not happening today. But you schedule it as if it was something that was important, not urgent, but important. Well, but you made it urgent with a time frame.
So. Well, not just that, he's the engine of his projects and his company. Mm-hmm. If you're not fueling that engine, then there's no right. company. So he sure. so that's the importance.
Block yeah. Everything. So yeah. the next part of that is, you're right, and a lot of the things that drive revenue or impact for like my companies are me being able to do the marketing for them, right? So you know, the next thing is like, I block off, you know, high value important times, and for me, I'm more effective in the morning, right? So I turn off Slack, I put my phone away. There's a handy app on my desktop called Focus Time. It's just built into Windows where it blocks all your notifications, right? And, you know, I try to spend time doing the things that are important. And, you know, when I block out all the notifications, I can't get interrupted.
Right.
And, you know, because when people interrupt you from things, you know, it's not always super intuitive, but when you have to switch tasks, right, it's called context switching, you lose a lot of time in between them. Right. And spending a little bit of time here and a little bit of time here and a little bit of time here is a terrible way to get something done. And, you know, for me personally, I'm prone to looking at notifications and things like that. And I think most people are probably wired that way. So I just need to get rid of them altogether and just block out the time to do the things that are actually going to have an impact. Right. And then I can answer to people's messages, you know, later, right? Which is probably why you get messages from me at night when it's after I've done like my important stuff. Right.
Yes, random times, random hours. And I often get them and then I go, I forgot to turn my own notifications off. It's a Sunday morning. What am I doing here? So that's a good point. So I see. So what you're saying is, and in what you do, what you found successful is focusing on a task in hand, not getting waylaid every 5 minutes, because that is a dopamine rush. When you hear that little ding, you don't know what it is. Is it $1 billion deal, or is it someone asking, you know, if you need to extend your car warranty? So you just don't know, but either way, it takes you out of it. Usually someone looking to extend your car warranty, not the $1 billion deal. But unfortunately, those come around more often. But okay, so, and yoga, is that something you came to because you felt like you needed to find kind of grounding and balance? Is that as mental as it is physical for you?
Maybe. I don't know yet. I before this year started, I just decided I wanted to do more, I guess, yoga specifically, but mostly just for my body. Like I do a decent amount of, I do a lot of jiu-jitsu nowadays, which is easier on my body than wrestling was. But I found myself having to like stretch a bunch, and you know, I was kind of like stiff a lot, and so I figured, well, if I do something that, you know, loosens me up a little bit, maybe that'll be helpful, right? And I found that I generally feel a little bit better. It's almost like my joints are lubricated, kind of, like going to explain
they absolutely
it.
Are. Yeah.
So yeah, I just kept with it.
Okay. And the ancillary effect has probably been, or will be soon at some point, calmer mind, more present, more mindful thoughts too.
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure how to quantify that. I know there are several studies on meditation and mindfulness in general that prove that people who do that actually get time back, right? Because they're able to focus better and they can accomplish things faster and easier. I'm not sure what the quantifiable benefit of you know, yoga is exactly, you know, from that standpoint, but I'm willing to make the bet that the more I invest in my own personal health now, the bigger the benefit will be, you know, in my 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, and hopefully some marginal years of my life where I have a higher, like quality of life, right? Because I put the work in now, right?
Yeah, you're building equity just like you would with money. It's the same thing in your health as well. So that's interesting. So, but let's get back to the business itself, because I know you do have to get to your yoga. So we only have maybe five more minutes or so with you. But I want to just get into the key factors that have contributed to your success, including mindsets, habits, professional development. If somebody's watching right now, it's like, wow, Brandon is so inspiring. I want to work for myself. I want to have a few different businesses. What would you say the key factors? I know we've touched on them, but do you have them like written down or enumerated?
I mean, I would. It's going to be hard to be successful, I think, in something that you don't believe in or you don't like doing. I think that's very true, right?
Right.
And then the other thing, at least for me, is the only real skill set I have is I think is being able to get better at something, right? Okay. Which is interesting, because I think everyone has that skill set, or at least the ability to. So you know, for me, I'm always learning, always trying to improve. And that's, I don't know, you spend 10, 15, 20 minutes a day doing something over the course of a year or two, that's what, several days? And, you know, you'd be surprised how much you can improve just with little consistent habits, right?
Right, 10 minutes a day, right? It adds up. All of a sudden, at the end of the year, you've kind of mastered something that you may not have, or just flipped through. Okay, that's interesting. So basically, because I know we have to wrap it up with you in a few minutes. So you've started working your way into high school with the dedication to be an athlete, to make it to D1 wrestling, and grades good enough to make it to an Ivy League school. Then in the Ivy League school, you're able to juggle working full-time, school full-time. And there's no joke, being a D1 athlete is a huge commitment. So little by little, you see there's a trend where you're able to learn, grow, and balance these things all at once while still having some fun. Then, of course, you start working, learning on the job. And like you just said, always look to get better. You weren't scared to sit there and go, I don't know what I'm doing. You're like, I will figure it out. You weren't afraid to fail, which I think
some actually, that's an important, I learned this on a job interview, I don't know, a long time ago, but this guy said something and it stuck with me since, but he said, as soon as you learn that no one else knows what the F they're doing either, the better off you'll be. And I thought that was like very true, you know, like everyone's trying to solve the same problem. Everyone's trying to get through the same things in life, right? And nobody's got it all figured out. So you might as well just do it. Yeah.
Right. So that freed you from going, well, everyone else is an expert and I don't know. The mindset was they may not know either, or they were at a point where they didn't know.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Benny, we're learning a lot today. I love it. I'm inspired.
I'm just listening, you know. Yeah. He's got a lot of experience. Listen, this is a powerhouse individual. He made himself. Yes. He made himself. That's the real thing. And that's what people got to understand when they're doing entrepreneurial work and balance work. Mm-hmm. You make it yourself. No one's going to teach it to you, because you are your unique self. We can only guide you to use some tools to make yourself. And that's really what the iShook experience is, and Midnight Market is, and everything else that we're doing in iShook as well. And it's very impressive. I just might have one question before you get off. The ad market, I know, is very, very competitive, very hard. How do you detach yourself mentally from the work? I understand you detach yourself physically, right? You break out the time. But how, it's like people who do stocks, it's very hard for them to, you know, detach themselves from the stock market in their mind. Right. And also when you do cryptocurrency, like I try to do trading. I don't do trading. We just created our own token. I'm like, I'm not going to trade. So I'm like, and it's 24 hours, the crypto. But what advice would you give our viewers? Basically, how do you mentally detach yourself? So you're doing the yoga. Right. Okay, I think that's kind of hard to mentally detach yourself when you're doing yoga, right? But when you're doing jiu-jitsu, you have to focus. It's an automatic detach, right? So I'm pretty sure some activities, you're still thinking about it, but still doing the activity. So what would you suggest in your experience to detach
mentally? Yeah, I mean, admittedly, it's hard for me, right? Like in my world, I spend a lot of money for other people mostly. And there's a big responsibility that comes with that, right? Right. You know, you spend a couple $100,000 a day of someone's money, you better not lose it, right?
Yeah, that's so a lot of worry. That's
so huge. It's hard to not, you know, look at your phone and do things, right? You know, so I try to set up some type of guardrails and automations and things that will notify me if something happens. You know, most of the like, I'm not super great at it, but I try to end my day at a certain time, right? And then I have, you know, kind of nighttime activities or whatever where you wind down and try to not think about work, sort of deal,
right?
Which helps me sleep better, and also, you know, not focus on work all the time, right? But admittedly, it is hard. I think that if you don't force your, like, there's got to be a forcing mechanism of some sort that like puts you in a place that allows you to detach, because otherwise, at least for me, it's hard, right? If I'm not doing anything, I'm just gonna sit and, you know, look at numbers and try to make a better, you know, YouTube ad, right?
Right. No doubt.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. So it's something that is, it's not easy. It's you're striving for as well. It doesn't come naturally.
I don't know. You know, I'm probably more guilty of looking at things constantly than most people. But I'm, you know, I'm trying.
Right.
Yes. No,
that's actually, he's presenting a good point. Every individual would again have to assess himself. How does he do it? But the key thing is you will have to force yourself to do it. There has to be a forcing mechanism. And that's very important. People got to put themselves in a position to detach mentally and physically. They can't, they can't get engulfed by the work, so to speak.
Yeah, it's important it's important to step away from stuff, right?
Right.
Certainly. You come back refreshed too, and you're better to serve yourself, your client, your business, everything. So it makes sense. And blocking this next hour for yoga is the way to do it. So I don't want to keep you much longer. I know you have to get running. So I want to thank you so much for taking your time. You've got your advertising firm, Calvin and Hodges. You're launching the sensorysupplement.com with NeuroNourish in the next week or two. So take a look at that. It's going to blow up. Everything Brandon does is great. And I know he really takes the care to make sure it's a fantastic product out there. And it's been really great just hearing your journey, hearing some of the wisdom you've gleaned along the way and sharing it with us and just taking the time. I really do appreciate it, Brandon. When I reached out to you, I would have understood if you're like, Chad, I'm just way too busy, but you did it. You took the time and really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I just want to say to everybody, thank you for joining us on the iShook experience. Check out our daily blog at iShook Daily. Connect with us on TikTok. Check us out on iShook.me. Explore our AI solutions at iShook AI. Join our social media community at iShook with integrated ChatGPT. There's a lot going on. Listen to the other podcasts on the network like Midnight Markets, as well as right here, the iShook experience and everything on the iShook network. That's my co-host, Benny Rachmanov, the CEO of iShook. Our guest, Brandon Kinney, very inspiring. And everyone, as Benny said last time, for true balance, you must always strive to stay balanced. So until next time, stay curious, stay balanced. I'm Chad Nafusi, and this has been the iShook Experience.